In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We've looked at prayer. We pray for the Holy Spirit because we recognize our own helplessness. We can't save ourselves. We can't understand the scriptures on our own. We can't avoid persecution or trouble or see our way through it. And we can't rightly understand this life or our place in this world without the Holy Spirit. He alone gives insight. We've also looked at meditation, for this is how the Spirit comes to us, through the Word. We're not silent thinkers when it comes to meditation, but we are noisy discussers. We speak and talk about the Word of God, for by that Word the Spirit comes. Today we look at affliction. May God grant us grace. So the right study of theology culminates in our experience. The scriptures are not meant to remain in our head as theories, doctrines, ideas, or intellectual know-how, but they are meant to be put into practice. We are to live the scriptures. We live the doctrines and experience them as we busy our lives with the Word of God. If we see doctrine as impractical, it's probably because we have not experienced it. If we see doctrinal disagreements as nothing more than, or as pointless, then it's probably, again, because we have not lived that particular doctrine. It's just stuck in our head instead of actually flowing into our life. To use a simple analogy, your knife looks quite impractical while you are eating your soup, until the steak comes. So a particular doctrine may seem impractical until the time of testing comes. We may seem to be straining at gnats until we experience some kind of trouble, and then we insist on the right doctrine, and we experience that doctrine, the scriptures, and thus the Holy Spirit in a way that we have never experienced him before. But that experience is different. It doesn't come in the way that you want. When you hear American Christians talking about their Christian experience, it sounds a little different than how Scripture speaks of it. Their experience is euphoric. They feel as if they are in God's presence as they recognize God delivered them from some great trouble. They turn to him and they feel like he is surrounding them with his power and his love, ordering their lives just so, taking away a certain tragedy. They feel his power moves them to serve and to love others. They feel close to Jesus as the mood music sways in the church. They feel love for Jesus as they set up their trees, their lights, their decorations, and all such other things, getting ready for Christmas. Now, the feelings are not necessarily wrong. It is a gift from God when we feel like a Christian. But we can never, we must never base our faith on our feelings. It is a sign of faith, but it can never be the ultimate sign because feelings are fickle. They change rather quickly. So when we make our feelings the greatest sign, then we are bound for failure. Then we want to be united to that glorified Jesus who just makes everything in our lives okay because we felt his power. The Lutheran experience of Christianity, and thus the true Christian experience, is far different. Yes, the Word of God is his power. Yes, the Holy Spirit is always working through that Word. But that powerful Word, that working of the Holy Spirit, is most clearly seen and experienced in affliction. Dr. Luther says it this way: affliction is the touchstone that teaches you not only to know and understand, but also to experience how right and true, how sweet and lovely, how powerful and comforting God's word is. Wisdom above all wisdom. Only when we suffer and struggle will we truly know the power of God and of his Spirit. Not to make us feel better or give us some sense of euphoric union with Christ, but to deliver us from every evil, just as we have prayed. And so it must begin in our minds, because Scripture must be learned. Meditation makes it part of us as the Spirit fills us with that word, but it is finally through suffering that the Scriptures conform us to Christ. And then we learn that the Word of God is not simply a self-help book meant to instruct us on what we can or cannot do. But the Word is life, and it grasps us, takes hold of us, conforms us to God Himself. We are not the ones who conform the Word to fit our situation, for we cannot make something of ourselves, but the Spirit takes us and molds us to Christ. He shakes us up, discarding what is sinful, not useful, the old, and then He fills us with what is new, conformed to Christ. So the Christian experience of Jesus is not feeling united to Him as He sits in His glory, but rather as He hangs on a tree. So it's not a feeling of euphoria, but often it's a feeling of abandonment. If we suffer with Him, we shall live with Him. It's picking up your cross and following Him. It's Daniel tossed into the lion's den. It's Jacob wrestling with God. It's Abraham sacrificing Isaac. When God appears against us, when He doesn't look like He doesn't care about our lives and won't fix it, that is actually when He is most near to us. And that is when those impractical doctrines become extremely practical. As we recognize that this must be Christ's body and blood on the altar in bread and wine. It must be His body and blood, for God has promised never to leave me or forsake me. I can't live by my feelings. I must live by the objective reality. I can't live by my feeling of abandonment. But it must be fulfilled, but I must live by that word. And so James tells us that we should rejoice in our sufferings, because suffering leads to endurance, and endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope, and hope is built upon the promise that this world does not last, but God's kingdom will reign forever, and we are part of that kingdom. Suffering trains us in this. We understand that when it comes to sports or work, no pain, no gain, they say. If it doesn't challenge you, it will never change you, they say. But we must also understand it when it comes to our spiritual development. To want to avoid suffering at all costs shows just how spiritually immature an individual is. For affliction is an opportunity to exercise faith, and affliction reveals the character of that faith. So well into his 70s, Daniel is tossed into the lion's den, all because he prayed to God. Though he had interpreted visions, dreams, and seen visions of his own, he was closest to God as he sat surrounded by lions. The Lord was his help. The Lord was his strength. The Lord was his Savior. He looked abandoned, but his faith would not waver. He prayed to God, even in the midst of those lions. And the Lord granted him deliverance. But he went back to the Word, back to the promises of God. So these troubles come because God loves you. Who sinned, the blind man or his parents, that the man was born blind? No one. Did Daniel sin that he was tossed into the den of lions? No. So also, your troubles do not always come because you did something wrong, but so that the power of God might be seen in your life. That man was healed of his blindness in a miraculous way. Daniel was delivered in a miraculous way. You do not have those promises, but you do have the promise that God is with you, and his word will sustain you. So it matters not why a particular trouble has come. What matters is who is with you. Whether you feel like it or not, who is with you? So affliction leads you back to prayer, and prayer leads you back to the Scriptures. Satan wants to use your troubles and difficulties to rob you of Christ and separate you from him. He wants you to view doctrinal disagreements as simple misunderstandings, majoring in minors, that as long as we agree on the major points Everything else, the details don't really matter. He wants you to trust in your own strength to fix your life or to understand the scriptures. He wants you to trust in your own feelings. And then when things don't go your way and turn against you, he is quick to accuse God of not loving you. But something different happens. As soon as trouble comes, as soon as Satan starts to afflict, you recognize that you can't get through this life on your own. And so you are driven back to the Word of God, scouring his Word, searching for his promises so that you may rightly know what he has said to you. This led Luther to also say that the greatest teacher of theology is the devil, because he drives us back to the Word by his troubles that he sends. And in that Word we find comfort and peace and answers. And so that Word has led us back to this place this night, as we live by the promise that Emmanuel is coming, not at Christmas, but to relieve us of all of our troubles. As Christians, we are united to Christ, but that means we are united to that man of suffering. St. Paul says that we bear in our bodies the marks of Christ. He had them physically on his body. Ours are perhaps emotional or mental. But either way, our lives are conformed to his life, not his life of glory, but to his cross, his suffering, his death. So as we journey along the same path, we live by faith. And on our deathbeds, this will become all too clear, as God once again speaks to us his eternal promises, even as we die with Christ, because we are confident of the resurrection that is to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.